In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My name is Mary Atwood, and I come to you this morning from the wilds of Claremont, where I have lived for several years, serving as interim pastor at St. Ambrose, Claremont, until their election of a rector 6 months ago, Mary Goschert, and currently serving as chaplain at Claremont Manor, which is a retirement community, also in Claremont. This morning, I would like us to consider, where is it that we each belong? The question I would like you to leave with is, where do I belong? We have, as the psalm says, a goodly heritage as Christians. We have, from the creation of the world, a beautiful natural setting, which we have managed to wreck in many ways, but nonetheless it was given to us as a gift by our Creator. We have the witness of the patriarchs and the matriarchs. We have the prophets and, of course, Jesus Christ himself and those who followed him, the disciples. We have the experience of Pentecost, which we are celebrating all summer long, all season long, which is the Spirit more present, more visible in the church and bringing new life, the Spirit among us. We then have the witness of the first Christians, Paul and Peter and others who traveled and brought people to Christ. And we have the saints and the martyrs throughout the ages. A goodly heritage is ours. So we know that we belong in that context. But where are we called to go with that heritage on whose shoulders, many shoulders, we stand? Now, Jesus came among us as someone who was in his own day, and to this day, very countercultural, if you remember that phrase from many moons ago. Jesus had no place to live. He was homeless. Jesus had no job. He was unemployed. Jesus had no family. He was unmarried. If you put those on a resume today and send it to a search committee, you might not quite get through that first screening. You would be perhaps considered a little bit, again, as the old vernacular, a bit flaky, not very rooted. Now, all of that is how the picture looks if you don't know the rest of the picture of Jesus as a teacher, a healer, a preacher, a worker of miracles, and the Son of God. But that is how we do know him, and that is how he calls us to service. Today he is speaking, saying hard words, sometimes called the hard sayings. He begins simply enough, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have their nests." We know that in the natural order, these creatures are ones who seek their place. But the Son of Man, Jesus continues, has nowhere to lay his head. You can imagine being a disciple hearing that. You're sort of drawn in. Yes, the foxes, yes, the birds, the Son of Man. Well, is Jesus the Son of Man? Nowhere to lay his head. And then Jesus comes with another command, "Follow me." How are they to understand what it means? They have already left family and home and work to follow Jesus, and yet they are being bid to enter more deeply into that journey, as even we, as the disciples of our own day, are bid to enter more fully into the journey and to proclaim God's kingdom in the midst of us, not God's kingdom eventually, but God's kingdom here and now. So where is it then that each one of us belongs when we hear this call? We know that we are grounded in our own homes. We have homes that we cherish, homes that we have worked hard to achieve, homes that perhaps we plan to pass to those in generations yet to come. Yet we know there are among us people who have no homes in our own country and in abroad. And we are bid to consider how it is that in the midst of what we have, are we called as Christians to be open to others. You know of the many ways, for instance, of saving energy so that we don't use so much of the natural resources of the world. You probably also know about eating non-grain-fed beings so that the grain can go on to people who have nothing else to eat. Considering voluntary simplicity, which is a way of life that some people don't even get to choose, is important for us as Christians. How may we live more simply, as the saying goes, so that others may simply live? The arena of our work is important to us, those of us still working, those who are retired have come to that place of understanding that retirement is not just a blank to be filled in. The joke goes, the only thing wrong with retirement is there is no day off. But the promise, Margaret Gunther, who is an Episcopal priest and theologian, says that when we enter retirement and we leave our job, that is the time that we find our true work. So our consideration of Christian vocation is part of our journey, whether we are working, whether we are retired, how to bring Christ present in the midst of everything that we undertake. Our relationships, similarly, are a place to invite God in. Whether we are single or married, divorced or widowed, we know that change is a hallmark of our relationships with our siblings, with our parents, with our spouses, with others of generations in our families. That how we bring Christ present can make all the difference in the world. When we have times of difficulty and stress, to make that time for prayer, to seek God's counsel. And as the psalmist reminds us, to seek God's counsel, which sometimes comes at night. Some people believe that, if you reread your psalm, refers specifically to dreams. Now, I don't mean some sort of weird dreams, but that the presence of God in insight through the Holy Spirit can come through our dreams at times. So we seek to serve God at home and in our work and in our relationships, and also as we approach the 4th of July, how do we serve God as citizens of our country? And some have made that commitment to service. Some may be looking toward that, serving whether in the military, in the Peace Corps, or medical personnel also serve as public health officers. We are called, as Jesus reminded us, to understand and to order the civil order. In other words, when Jesus looked at the coin and was asked, to whom do we pay taxes, Jesus said, render to Caesar that which is Caesar's and to God that which is God's. So he wasn't saying that you choose one or the other, but he was saying the civil authority is part of our lives, but God must be brought into the consideration of serving the civil order. In your church, you have an exciting opportunity, as you will shortly hear, the rector who will be coming to you. And this whole time of interim pastorate has been one of changes of who's in charge here, how does this work, how will it work. And those kinds of changes will be part of your life in the near future as well, when you welcome your new rector. But together in the power of the Holy Spirit and with great openness and joining in Christ's ministry, I know that you will have a blessed time, and I will keep you in my prayers. Be open to understand how the Spirit may be calling you to a new path of service, especially here at the church. When we hear Jesus' invitation to follow me, we know that we are being called away from safety and we are being called away from security. We are called deeper into the heart of God. I don't think that many people are called to walk away from everything, though some people are called in that way. But we perhaps are called to be more open to the Spirit, instead of the usual way of doing things, to radically reorder our priorities so that we can hear Jesus calling us, not just in times of prayer, but at all times in our life, as we work, as we serve our country, our church, and in our relationships. May we follow Jesus in the power of the Spirit, creating with God a church and a country and a world that is just and beautiful and joyous. Amen.